This is a newer song. We did this a few weeks ago, and it's one that I have on my Spotify that I listen to a lot. And it's called My Testimony, and you may have heard it and you may know it. And I just love the words. And in the bridge it says, if I'm not dead, then you're not done. It's not my choice that I just say, yeah, I'm going to do whatever I want. You know, God's, I don't need to do this or I don't need to do that. If you're still here, he's got work for you to do. And so who are we to question him on that? So let's sing this out if you know it. If you don't, just listen to the words, but feel free to sing if you know it.
Today we breathe, today we know that we are strong.
reminder often says that this world is not our home, amen. There's something greater for us on the other side. The song is called I Will Rise. Thank you.
You know, we've been working through this series called Pre-Existing Conditions, and last week we started it off by talking about this idea of the fall and original sin. And this whole idea of how many times we're asked how we're doing, and so often we come up with that pre-programmed answer, I'm fine, thanks for asking. And what we really wanted to do over the course of this series is have a stop and ask, how are we really doing? How is our heart and how is our soul, right? And then this idea that if we would truly investigate that question and we would truly ask how our heart is doing, then we may be able to avoid the unexpected, because ignoring that question, the unexpected will always happen. And then those heart attacks are the things that can end us, right, when it comes to our soul. So don't just put up more fly traps, we said last week. Let's deal with some of the garbage that draws in the flies. Well, this week we want to continue with that idea, this idea of dealing with our pre-existing conditions. And I hope this week you've been alert, right? I hope that you've been kind of thinking about those moments. And if you have weak moments, I want you to know that that's okay, right? You're allowed to have weak moments. Again, there is no guilt when it comes to this truth of the gospel. Sometimes there is conviction. And again, conviction is good for us. Guilt is not. Conviction is of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. Guilt is of the enemy. And so having weak moments, I want you to know that that is absolute in our lives. Because of this idea of original sin, because of the fall, we are going to have some of those weak moments. And what I love about Scripture is that it shows those weak moments in the saints that have gone before us. It shows those vulnerabilities. It makes it real for me and for you. And that's a good thing, because how many can relate to weakness? Yes. We are weak at times, and that's okay. But what's beautiful is the unchanging Scriptures are designed to transform us, to change us, to challenge us, to encourage us to seek a life of holiness. And so I want to talk about some of those weak moments this morning, right? I want to caution you in this. There's sometimes I've been around Christians who say they've got it all together. Now, if somebody tells you that, I want you to know that you need to be very cautious. Beware, because someone who tells you they have it all together has obviously left humility behind, and right out of the gate, you should have a flag, right? And I was thinking about this with some of my mentors and some of my possible mentors in university. I had some people who wanted to mentor me in university that I saw flags, and I decided not to have them mentor me. What was I looking for? I was looking for a mentor who was going to be honest with me. I was going to look for a mentor who shared with me their struggles, but then also how they found successes. I was looking for someone who had scars, but had found healing. And when I found those people, I realized right out of the gate that they were gold. And they were good for me. And I wanted their time, and I wanted to ask questions, and I wanted their wisdom. And you know, it's amazing to me that those people are out there, but what amazes me more is that there are those people who are in the church that say, hey, I've got it all together. Why don't you come and listen to me? You know, if you don't fear preaching, you shouldn't be preaching. If your testimony is not about the goodness of God, then you shouldn't be sharing your testimony. It's those things and those flags. And so this passage that I want to share as we get going today was written by a guy who you all know is Paul. Now, Paul was not always Paul, which is interesting, and that's why I love the Word of God. At one time, he was Saul, and he persecuted Christians. He slaughtered the early church. Think about that. Slaughtered the early church, killed many in the name of religion. And God calls that guy. Why? Because he's probably the most unlikely guy. So that when people would see his future ministry, when people would see his future goodness, there would be no question that it wasn't Saul. Saul was a jerk. Saul was a murderer. Saul was devious. The new guy was God. And changed his name to Paul. And so he wrote most of the New Testament, which is kind of amazing. But he gives this testimony, so to speak, that's wrapped in a confession. It's found in Romans 7. Most of you will know this very well, but of course it's going to be behind me on the screen. Starting to read at verse 15, he says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Can anybody relate to that? And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree with that the law is good as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is the sin living in me. For I know the good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. Now, again, this is one of those passages that maybe you've heard or you've read 1,000 times, and sometimes you turn it off, and there's a lot of to do in there. But what I love so much about this passage is that Paul is being real. Paul is being raw. Paul is sharing a confession wrapped in this testimony, and he shows that the struggle is real. I love it when Christians are real. Now, again, not settling. Paul was not settling for the sin that kept coming to head inside of him and in his actions. He was confessing that sin and saying, you know what? We need to be aware of this. Paul says there's going to be good, there's going to be bad, there's going to be the ugly, and we need to be reminded of that because obedience is tough. Sometimes health is a struggle, that sin is always knocking at the door, trying to get in, and instead of ignoring it, we need to address it. And that should give us pause to take a breath. And to understand, okay, so here's the feller who wrote most of the New Testament, and guess what? He struggled with things that he didn't want to do either as well, right? He struggled. And so are we struggling? Sometimes, yes, and I don't want any guilt in that because guilt is of the enemy. But again, if that convicts us, then let's address what we struggle with. We know that nothing can separate us from the love of God, that he loves us. We even talked about that in a series just a little while ago called The Broken Beloved. He loves you as you are, but he loves you enough not to leave you there. And so this confession of Paul, he's saying troubles are going to come. Let's not hide them. Let's not ignore them. I remember one house that I went to. Visitation is interesting. I will try to show up at your house if I know that you're struggling with something or that you need me. And again, I always say this, if you ever need me, give me a call. We'll figure out a time. And that sort of thing. But visitation is weird, especially in today's society, because we do live pretty private lives. We live lives that we want out there. We put it on social media. And then there's another side of our life that we just want to be quiet. And so it's kind of interesting. I went to this one door one time and I could hear awful things. You know houses that aren't insulated maybe as well as you think? And I was hearing what I thought was a murder taking place beyond the door. And I'm like, do I knock? Do I not knock? Do I run? Do I flee? Do I call the police? I'm not sure what I do. And just when I'm trying to make that decision, a face shows up at the door in anger. And then I'm like, and then they smile. Oh, hi, Pastor. How are you? And I'm going, wow. Listen, that is not the same voice that I just heard bellowing from this house. Like, are we really going to go there? My question is how are you guys? Because I have 911 on hold, right? And so it was kind of a funny, not ha-ha, funny, peculiar moment where all of a sudden I said, really? And they said, maybe you need to come in because maybe we need to talk about some stuff that maybe you already heard. And I said, I am so sorry that I've put everybody on the spot. That was not my intent. My intent was to say hi. But I am so privileged and awesome feeling that you would want to address all of that. Yeah, I would love to come in, right? It's funny to me. Like I think about this with me. You know, as adults, when we see kids making mistakes, what do? We discipline. My mama used to give me a crack. Poof! I knew that was bad. When I started to get older, it was a spoon. Snack! Right? You ever hear that snack of a spoon? Woo! When she broke the spoon, she got a yardstick. When she broke the yardstick, she got a broom. I kept growing. I was going, what is going on? When she brought up the 2x4, we just listened, right? Now, discipline has changed, but what's interesting is that my brother and I knew right from wrong because my parents disciplined us, right? Now we go into this adulthood, and it's kind of amazing to me that adults don't necessarily like discipline. And so when something arises that's bad behavior, what do as adults? Oftentimes we push it down, we bury it, we hide it, and then all of a sudden, those unplanned moments happen, like we talked about last week, and we find ourselves asking those questions, why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why did I act that way? And it's amazing to me because adults seem to ignore the issues. And here's the problem with adulthood is that we become familiar with secrets. I had one of my mentors one time say this sentence, and it was seared in my brain because it really messed up my heart. But he said, Andrew, he said, secrets question the integrity. Never forget that. And it was so heavy, like it was such a heavy, it was like he branded it on my heart, like it wasn't a tattoo, it was a brand. Like it was, it burnt so deep because there was so many secrets in my life at the moment that he told me that. And I said, yeah, secrets question my integrity. Like the only good secret is, surprise, happy birthday, right? Or like when Larry's hair comes walking up. Like you know, the whole ramp, and I'm going, look at that mane. Woo! That's a surprise. It's beautiful. I knew it was going to be beautiful. Still didn't wasn't ready to see it, right? It's all of those moments. Those are the only good secrets, right, is when we're going to surprise somebody. But the reality of it is when it comes to our spirituality, secrets question the integrity. And that's why I love Paul's writing and how honest he was and how honest he was with himself, but also how honest he was with others. And what Paul was trying to do is something that could be very helpful for you and I. He was trying to show us that seeking growth is not a sign of weakness. Seeking growth is a sign of health. But as adults, because we get used to secrets, we think that all of a sudden, when we show that we need to grow, then we are obviously saying and confessing how weak we are. But you know what? We have it as a bad thing in our head instead of a good thing. It's one of those deals. You know, sometimes when they say the altars are open, just come forward and lay all your cares. And then people like are like you could see knuckles turning white. Like, oh, I can't go forward because somebody will know I'm weak. Paul was confessing his weakness and reminding us that that is a good thing. that seeking growth and admitting that weakness is actually a sign of strength, not shame. And think about this. Jesus was an incredible encourager. He loved seeing those grow around him. And I was thinking of Stephen. For those of you who don't know this story, you need to read it. It's found in Acts. The story of Stephen is about the first martyr in the early church. Stephen was stoned in the middle of the street while, guess who watched? Saul. The same Saul who became Paul and wrote the passage that we're focusing on this morning. That whole story says that Saul, who would be Paul, he held the coats of those who would stone Stephen to death. It's found in Acts chapter 7, and I want to encourage you all to take some time this week to read about Stephen's death. His speech alone to the accusations of the temple, his speech to them alone is so worth reading. But as Stephen is dying, my point is this. He had this vision, right? He saw heaven open up, it says, as he's dying and being hit with stones. And he says he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. I love that. Like, ever since I've heard that story, even from the very first time, I said, why was Jesus standing? He was standing because he was giving Stephen a standing ovation. That Christ was cheering for Stephen, just as Christ always cheers for us and longs for us to grow. That he's invested in your journey, right? Like this idea that you understand, church, that God is bigger than the Bible. The Bible is your manual. The Bible is the Holy Scriptures. The Bible is oxygen to your soul. You need to hide it in your heart, absolutely. But do you know that through the presence of the Holy Spirit, that same God that you read about is waiting to have an ongoing love affair with you that happens every moment of every day? And Jesus cheers for us. The Holy Spirit empowers us and encourages us and is waiting to guide us. Why? Because he loves it when you succeed. He loves your obedience. And when we're obedient, we win. So think about this with me. Here's the whole principle this morning. Anytime we can grow in obedience, we are growing in love. And anytime we grow in love, we're growing in obedience. Do you see how they go hand in hand? Let me say it again. Right? Anytime we can grow in obedience, we're growing in love. And anytime we grow in love, we're growing in obedience. How do I know that? Think of this verse of Jesus, this passage from John 14:15. Jesus says, if you love me, obey me. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Our win in the Spirit is based upon our obedience. Are you catching that this morning, church? Your win in the spiritual plane is based upon your obedience, and your obedience is proportional to your love of Christ. If you love, you obey. If you obey, you win. Like, what a beautiful principle, and so simple, and yet sometimes so far from us. Because that obedience comes to the deep places. That's where it comes from. The deep inside of you. That's where it's developed. And yet so often when we get to the deep things, no, how are you doing? I'm fine. Thanks for asking. We don't like to dig deep. We like superficial. We don't like to get real. We've gotten used to secrets. And what this principle is saying, that it's in those deep places where either the river of God is going to flow and spring up from in you, or it will be a dry and barren land. Like, think of Jesus' conflict with the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15. Again, another one that if you have time, I want you to go and read it, because it's kind of a cool thing. But in this story, the religious leaders are challenging Jesus. And they're challenging the disciples, saying, you know what? You guys are not obeying the law because you're eating without washing your hands. Shame, shame, hell, fire, and brimstone. Because they didn't wash their hands, right? Jesus says, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out the body, but the things that come out of the person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. The beautiful thing about Jesus and what makes him either beloved or hated is that he always went deeper, right? This idea where he's saying, you've heard it say, don't commit adultery, but I say, if you look at a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Oh, I don't like that. Doesn't fit in well to my secretive lifestyle, right? Or this idea that, you know what, oh, you heard it say, don't commit murder, but I'm telling you that if you hate your brother, you've already committed murder in your heart. Oh, I don't like that. I've gotten used to secret hate. You see, Jesus always took things deeper. And the Pharisees didn't like that because Jesus was calling attention to the soul, right? He was saying, listen to the palpitations of the heart. Listen to when it's out of beat. Listen to the deeper thing. Let's see if you have a flow problem. And you can only see that if we dig deeper. Jesus goes on in verses 19 and 20. He says, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts. Out of the heart comes murder. Out of the heart comes adultery and sexual immorality. Out of the heart comes theft and false testimony. Out of the heart comes slander. All of these things defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. Again, Jesus digs deeper. Why? Because he understood the pre-existing condition that we would be burdened with if we ignore it. It's amazing to me. Some of the teens, I was thinking of them and some of the young adults. I started watching this a couple of years ago because it was such a phenomenon. How many have ever heard of a show called The Walking Dead? Anybody? It's kind of what I hope 2020 was going to look like if we had a virus. Just because then you get to shoot zombies. Doesn't that sound like fun? Whoa! Anyway, that's the hillbilly within me. But I was thinking about this show, The Walking Dead. It's kind of interesting because there's this one scene at the end of season one, and they're trying to get to the center of disease control. Because there's zombies, a virus has obviously taken over the world, things are very bad, let's go there. If anybody has a cure, they'll have a cure. So they get to the CDC, and they get locked in the building, and they meet Dr. Emmerich. And Dr. Emmerich whispers something to Rick that we don't know what it is, and we're going, oh, that's gold. Whatever he has is a key to this whole thing, and then the season ends, and you got to wait a year. You're like, what did Dr. Emmerich say? What did he whisper? And you wait. And then season two started. Of course, I got onto this years later, so I was just binge watching some of them when I had time, right? Season two, they don't reveal it right away either. And you're watching show after show after show. And finally, at the end of season two, you find out what Dr. Emmerich whispered to Rick in his ear. And he tells him that it's not just when you get bit or scratched. All of mankind already has the virus. And there's the big reveal. And hope is taken. Because when you die, you will turn into a walker. And I was thinking about that. That's the story this morning. That you and I have a pre-existing condition. But here's the beauty of it. If we would finally receive that information, if we'd finally be honest with that information, it can actually be an aid. It can change the whole game. Why? Because then we would understand just how desperately we need God. How desperately we need the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you're already infected. But he's the cure. We need to be on guard and we need to be watching. Just like Jeremiah 17 last week, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. You can't deal with the pre-existing conditions. Only God can. Oh, how we need him. Oh, how we need him. You know, this past month has been a weird month. Filled with many victories, but filled with many defeats. And that's what, as I deal with people, what makes it a little more exciting or discouraging is that it's amplified because of the COVID. So even for pastors, right, you're going, yes, victory, because victories are kind of feel a little rare in the world in which we're living that seems to be falling apart, and there's not even zombies to shoot to take the stress off, right? So then I look at the defeats, but because we're living in dark days, it just seems like some of the defeats hit a little closer to home sometimes too, and then I've got to be very careful of my flow in my heart, and I need to bring it to the Lord always, always, always. I had someone that I was dealing with this past year, and it's turned out the same way. This is the second time I've dealt with this person, and all of a sudden they've disappeared. Now, what were they coming to me for? They were coming to me for accountability. They were coming to me for wisdom. They were coming to me to study the scriptures, or at least have me proclaim what the scriptures say and then show them. And I was going, you know what? There's things that are wrong in your life, and you can let them grow, or we can deal with them. And so I was being very real and very honest, right? But not everybody's ready for real and honest. So what happened is this, is I found out that this person was looking for happiness. And I told you that's the wrong thing. I've told you that time and time again here, that our goal is not to be happy. That's the world's goal. God isn't interested in our happiness. He's interested in something that's so much greater, which is called holiness. And you see, when we seek holiness, then we get something way better than happiness, because with holiness comes joy and comes peace and comes direction and comes maturity and comes strength and comes health and all of those beautiful things that holiness leads us to all good. And holiness, once it takes root, it goes down so deep that there are things that we keep in secret that we know are weaknesses, that as holiness takes root, that all of a sudden those weaknesses are driven out of us because they're replaced with the Holy Spirit. And you see, happiness is not safe at all. Happiness is momentary. Happiness usually leads to more mess, but holiness leads to beautiful, beautiful existences. That happiness is fickle, and yet holiness is eternal. And so I was so sad when all of a sudden, it's happened to me twice now, twice I've started down this road with this individual, and then all of a sudden they're gone because they are seeking happiness and not holiness. What makes me even sad, more sad, I think because of the times in which we live, is they haven't told me this yet. They've just gone missing for a month. Second chance. Grace. You see, too often, even in the church, we use this word all of a sudden. Suddenly. We use that word. And you know what? I want you to know that suddenly is a lie of the enemy. Like suddenly shouldn't be something that we use in description of our lives, testimony, journey with God. Suddenly is a lie of the enemy. And I've heard these, like these are just some of them, right? Oh, they suddenly got divorced. They suddenly had an affair. Suddenly they were addicted to drugs and alcohol. Suddenly they took their life. Suddenly is a lie of the enemy, but suddenly makes us feel better. Do you know that? As adults. Why? Because suddenly is this tense that says, you know, whatever we found that destroyed us came upon us unexpectedly. It was sudden, and it caught us off guard, and all of a sudden it takes away our responsibility. You see, suddenly makes us feel better. But suddenly shouldn't be our reality. You see, suddenly happens over the course of time as we ignore God's cries to us. Suddenly happens as we ignore God's warnings to us. So suddenly isn't so sudden. You see, suddenly happens when we ignore these pre-existing conditions that God has already warned us about, that we are already infected and we are not the cure. Suddenly happens when all of a sudden we embrace secrets. And then suddenly, something takes place. All that we could put to death suddenly. All that we could stop with the secrets. All that we would stop seeking happiness and search for something way greater that leads to our growth, which is holiness. You see, it's not my idea. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. If we love, we obey. If we obey, we win. It's so simple, but it's not that easy. Everybody bow your heads. Whew, I'm going to be done on time. What? Guys, over the next few weeks, we're going to be getting into some of the actual conditions that I see that we battle in the heart. So it's going to get a little more specific. But I just felt like we couldn't leave this place today until we come against suddenly. Suddenly is an excuse. I felt like we couldn't leave this place and enter new territory until we first put to death this idea of happiness and we hold high holiness. I felt like we couldn't leave this place until all of a sudden we realize just how damning secrets will be to our heart and our soul. And we have an honest moment with God the Father. I felt like we couldn't leave this place until first we understood that acknowledging we need growth is not a weakness. Instead, all of heaven rejoices and encourages you to grow, to grow, to grow in your spirit and your heart. You see, it's what we're acknowledging right today that I believe will make the weeks that follow incredible. Or it'll make the weeks that follow just another Sunday. If we love, we'll obey. And when we obey, we win. Oh, that we'd seek growth. Let me pray for you. Father God, right now in this moment, I pray that we would decide. Either we are weak or we are strong. Either we have secrets or we're an open book. Either we will address the holiness issues and banish that idea of suddenly. Either we'll do that or we'll embrace just a simple, fickle happiness. Well, Father God, I know that in the weeks that are ahead, I long for you. That I've been longing for you. I want whatever you have for me and even more. So God, I pray that you would help me to be as real as I can be with myself and with you. That Holy Spirit, that I would not be fighting or even speaking, I'd be listening. That there would be no argument in the weeks to come in my spirit. That's my prayer. Lord, I can only do that. I can only say that. I can only confess that. I can only desire that for me. So Lord, what I'm saying is this morning that I surrender. Like, I'm surrendering. Come and have your way in me, I pray. Amen. Guys, I hope that over the next few weeks you'll join us on this journey. And again, we're going to get a little more specific as the weeks go on about conditions of our heart and our soul. God bless you. Have an incredible week in the Lord. Avoid secrets. Don't seek happiness. Let's shoot for something way more important and eternal, which would be holiness. God bless you and have an awesome week in the Lord.